Okay, good morning. Good Chodesh.
Good morning. Chodesh.
Okay. Today's shiur is being sponsored L'Ilui Nishmat Masha Sira Bat Shmuel Yerucham and Gershom Ben Dov Be'er Halevi. It should be L'Ilui Nishmatam and they should be Meili Tzosher for their entire family. Okay, my friends. There's a very interesting piece in the Megale Amukos, which is source number one of the source sheet. The Megale Amukos says the following. I'm in source number one, or source number two, rather. He says that the Greek exiles served to atone for the sin of the sale of Yosef. And this is very fascinating. In what way is the Greek exile serving to atone for the sin of Yosef? You know, it's very fascinating because whatever parshas that we read in any given time is connected with what's going on at that particular time. So the fact that we read the parshios of Yosef, whether it's Vayeshev or Miketz or sometimes both, it's not by accident. There is some interconnection between Yosef and Tzaddik and the story of Hanukkah. Okay, so I get it. It's read at the same time. But to say that the Greek exile served to atone for the sale of Yosef, what does that mean? What is that all about? And it goes even deeper than that. That the gematria, and gematria, the numerical value, isn't just like, oh, that's cute. No, it's something very deep. The gematria of Yosef is the same gematria as Antiochus, and it's the same gematria as Melech Yavan. And this is the idea in the bracket in source number two of Zelu Matzeh Salukim. One to the other, Hashem does that. There's a balance in the forces of Kedusha and the forces of Tumah, which balance each other out. There must be some connection that Yosef HaTzadik is on one side, Antiochus, the king of Yavan, is on the other side. We have to understand what this is about. It goes even further than that in source number three. When we're talking about the creation story, it says that there was choshech al pnei tahom, there was darkness on the abyss, and Chazal learned every phrase in that verse to correspond to a different one of the malchios, a different one of the exiles. Choshech is a golus yavam. Choshech is a reference to the exile of Yavan. Why? Because they darkened our eyes with gzeros, with different decrees. And one of the famous decrees that they have in the Hebrew source number three is Kitvu lachem al karen hashor, right on the horn of the ox, that you have no portion in Chelek Belokei Yisrael, in the God of Israel. Now, what that means, that they wrote on the horn of the ox, is open for much debate. Some people say as they're plowing, they had a constant reminder they had no connection to God. Others suggest that the horn of the ox was used as a baby bottle, so the babies at a young age would see so clearly that they have no connection with God. And we know this. You know, you hang things by your kid's crib so that they should be able, through osmosis, to get, whatever information. You know, some people hang elephants, some people hang Rebbe pictures, whatever, you know, suits you. I was going to say whatever's appealing to you, if you can get the Hebrew pun on that one. And the and this is also connected with Yosef HaTzadik, because in the bracket in three, we know by Yosef, his bracha is Bechor Sharo Hadar Lo, V'Karnei Re'im Karnav, that Yosef is compared to an ox, and particularly the horns of an ox. So when we're saying that they want that, right, that you have no connection with the God of Israel on the horn of an ox, in some way they intended to create a schism, the end of three, between the Jewish people and the sanctity of Yosef HaTzadik, who's compared to an ox. And again, the question begs itself, what is it about Yosef HaTzadik that is so connected with the Greek experience? That's question one. Question two is going back into source number one. It's a very interesting Gemara, where the Gemara says that it quotes an idea of Rabbi Tanhu about Hanukkah, and they say that near Shel Hanukkah, second paragraph, Sheinicha l'malam esrim ama psula, if there is the candlelight above 20 amos, whatever that may be, an amos is around 4 feet, right? If it's very high, you can't, you're not yotzei. Whatever that may mean, we're not talking halachically here today. The Gemara then goes on and says, let me tell you something else that this rabbi, Rabbi Tanchum, says. He says, and this is a very famous idea, when it says by Yosef, ha-bor reik ein bo mayim, and the boar, the pit is empty, there is no water. So obviously, if it's empty, there is no water. It's empty. No, what does it mean, there is no water? It was empty of water. Mayim ein bo. Aval nechashim v'akrovim yesh bo. But it did have snakes and scorpions. And the obvious question is, what is that idea that Rabbi Tanchum is bringing, that the pit was empty by Yosef, but there were snakes and scorpions? What is that doing in a whole section which is entirely about Hanukkah? It's almost like, oh, by the way, Rabbi Tanchum added something else. Well, why are you telling me that here? Obviously, this idea of a bor reik ein bo mayim, that it was empty and there was no... just snakes and scorpion. That too, my friend, has to do with what? Has to do with Hanukkah. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, this is our work cut out for us today. I'm trying to understand on a little bit of a deeper level the connection between Yosef and Hanukkah, the connection between these two ideas in the Chazal, and obviously our main focus, which we've always had, and we'll always have, in Mirza Hashem, what does this have to do with us? And how can we access Hanukkah on a deeper level? Are there any questions on the questions? Okay, so I'll take that as a positive sign that I can move on. Good. So let's understand something very fundamental. And that, my friends, is continuing now in source 4. There's an idea, this comes from Shmuley Pinchas, quotes that Yaakov Avinu, we're in source 4:4, that Yaakov Avinu was an Ishtam Yoshev Alim. He was in the bold, he was a wholesome person who sat in the tents. What does Yoshev Alim say, right? Above the underline in source 4, Peirush Rashi, Yoshev Alim Olo Shel Shem. He sat, plural tense, in the tents of Shem Ve'ever. He was involved in learning Torah. Now, good, he learned Torah his whole life. He's 63 years old now. And his parents tell him, you know what, Yaakov, you're an alter bacher. It's time to get married. Yep, 63 is a good enough time to get married. And there's always hope, my friends. Good time to get married. And what does Yaakov Avinu do? Instead of going straight to Haran, he's 63 at this point, what does he do? He spends 14 more years learning in Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever. So I say to you, and I'm sure we've said this to members of our family, like, how much more do you need to learn? Like, 63 years isn't enough? Like, it's time to go out already and, you know, get married, get a job, like, move on. You know, I'm sure we've said something like this to some level to some people. 14 more years, that's a long time. What was he doing those 14 years that he wasn't able to do in those 63 years? I'm in the asterisks and for Achabeiri, Kilifnei Shibarach Yaakov Me'esav Arasha Kishyashav Beit Abba. When Yaakov Avinu was living at home, he learned the Torah of how to live among Yidim, how to live among Jews. Now that he is about to enter into the world of Lavan and his cohorts, he needed to learn a different Torah. Ech lichyo ki yudi ben Torah va'oved Hashem ben goyim shelo lomod klal mimaseyim. This is a whole new Torah. It's called the Torah of Golos, the Torah of exile. How do you survive as a Jew in the world around you? Now we can appreciate, and this is so beautiful, is that we know, continuing on in the third paragraph from 4 by the arrow, we know that Yosef HaTzadik is 17 years old when his father sends him to check out on the brothers. And we also know that Yosef was a Ben Zkunim. He was the beloved child, which our rabbis tell us in source number 5, Bar Hakim Hule, whatever he learned from Shevet Ever, he gave over to Yosef. Now let's figure out the math. When do we generally, what was he teaching him? What did he teach all the brothers? Yeah, but he also understood that Yosef HaTzadik, he knew, Ruach HaKodesh, he was going to be the one who's going to need this special Torah of how to deal in Golos. So we know we start teaching a child at 3 years old. Torah Tzivalon Moshe is 3 years old. He sends him out. How old is he? 17. 17 minus 3 is what? 14. For 14 years, what is he teaching him? The 14 years that he learned before he went out to Lavan's house, he's teaching him the Torah of Golos. He's teaching him what it means to be among the people who are counter to your culture. And this is explanation and source number 6. When Yosef HaTzadik has this image of his father, when he's about to be enticed by the greatest of all snakes, known as Mrs. Potiphar, and he's almost ready to give in, but Osa saw at that moment in 6, he saw, at that moment, the image of his father came and appeared to him in the window. What is the image of his father? So on the one hand, the image of his father is all of that Torah that he learned for the last 14 years came to the fore at that moment. Further, let's move down to the next page, and this is very essential. Further in source number 8, the Osa Shah Basa Dukno Shalavib. It's not only that his father appeared to him. The language of Chazal is very important. Dukno Shalavib, the image of his father. You know what the image of his father is? So explains the Shvila Pinchas in source 8. Ki bitchila chashav Yosef shiyoter tov li labesh kimina gamakom. Originally, Yosef thought he did his hair, he looked nice. You have to integrate with the nations. Let me look like them. Let me talk like them. Let me act like them. And in that way, they'll like me. But he saw now, and maybe I can even influence them, but he saw now that that's not going to help. And he realized that instead of pulling people up, he was being pulled down. What did he see in the image of his father? He saw his father dressed like a Jew. He saw him with payas, with a beard. He saw him that he's different than his father's, he was dressed different. And he realized, you know what? I can't act like I was acting. I have to act like a Jew, which helps explain later on when the brothers come and they don't recognize him. What does Rashi say? He added a beard. He recognized, he learned the lesson. I have to be more Jewish-like now. Let me stop for a moment and just share with you a few insights on this. This is something that we struggle with, and this is something that the world struggles with. We know that in the last generation, when you were in a sociology class, probably when you went to college, they taught you that America is what we call a melting pot. And the idea of a melting pot is that we all meld together and we become one. If you were to take a sociology class now, you would learn that's no longer called a melting pot. It's called a salad bowl. A salad bowl is that everyone has their own identity, right? I can pick out the cucumbers. If I don't like tomatoes, I don't have to eat them, right? I'm able to have what I want. Now, my friends, listen closely. There's something beautiful about a salad bowl. You can maintain your identity. One of the challenges that Yidden have over the generations is we wanted to be like them. And we know in Egypt, because we didn't change our name, our dress, our language, our mama lashon, that's what's kept us to be Jews. You know, I will tell you, this is all from the Shvili Pinchas, all these sources we're doing now, Rav Pinchas Friedman. I will tell you that this is a challenge that we've had. Post-Holocaust era, most parents gave their children two names, an English name and a Jewish name. Do you know what I'm talking about? Most people have two names. I just had somebody just on Sunday was telling me she had to go emergency to America. Her mom was sick. She had a baby. She had to get him a passport. She had such a problem because her husband's name is Brian. When he came to Israel, it's Binyamin on his Tudat Zehut. But they weren't going to give the kid a passport because what's the dad's name, Brian or Binyamin? This is a challenge we all went through. Now, let me tell you a little secret, my friends. You go on a college campus today, half the names are Chinese, literally Chinese, not only Chinese, and you can't even pronounce them. And they have no problem with that because they have a pride in who they are. But suddenly, as Jews, we're so afraid to be different. What Yosef HaTzadik was teaching us is that you want to maintain your identity in Galus and not get sucked up. You have to see the image of your father, Yisrael Saba. You have to know what it means to be different and be proud of your differences and not have to be so afraid of who you are. You know, I read a story once, a moon ago, of a fellow who's going to have the deal of his lifetime. You know, like this multi-million dollar deal. I can't even imagine it. So I can't even tell you the numbers because I can't even pronounce it. And it was during the 3 weeks. And he didn't know whether to shave for the meeting or not because men aren't allowed to shave. So he went to Rav Moshe Feinstein and he said, this is like the multi-million dollar meeting of the lifetime. Can I shave or not? And Rav Moshe Zatzal says, you are not allowed to shave. He didn't listen to Rav Moshe, he shaved. He's sitting at this meeting, they're about ready to sign multi-million dollar contract. And the fellows right before they sign said, well, how do we know we can trust you? He says, I'm an Orthodox Jew. They turned to him and they said, the Orthodox Jews we know have a stubble on their face. You don't. Obviously, you're not so Orthodox. And he lost the deal. What are we afraid of? They hate us anyway. I don't know. I don't know if that was a secret. I don't want to, like, you know, let the cat out of the bag. Stand up for what you believe in. That's what Yosef HaTzadik is about. That's what Yosef HaTzadik learned. That, you know, we have to be able to be strong with who we are. And Yosef HaTzadik, I'm now source number 9. When Yosef went down to Egypt and guarded himself in morality, in his merit, Yisrael were similarly protected. Rav Chiya, the son of Abba, said, Yisrael deserved to be redeemed in the merit of the avoidance of immorality alone. As already explained, Yosef was able to sanctify himself in Egypt due to the lessons he learned with Yaakov concerning how to sanctify oneself as a Jew, even surrounded by Goyim. So we know, my friends, and this is one of the questions on the chat, you know, they didn't teach this to me in graduate school, how to teach on Zoom, answer chat questions, and be focused on share screening. This was not part of my curriculum. They didn't really have computers when I went to graduate school, but that's not for here nor there. Anyway, one of the questions on the chat was, what did they learn in Yeshiva Chaim Ve'Ever, which is a good question. So Yeshiva Shalom brings down, he says in Pirkei Avos, why is it called Pirkei Avos, right? The ethics of our fathers, because that's what the Avos learned. The Avos learned, the forefathers learned Midos. What they learned in the Beis Medrash was how to be a mensch. And let me tell you, my friends, you can spend a lifetime learning how to be a mensch. There's a different idea of learning how to be proud of your Yiddishkeit and not to be influenced. As Yaakov Avinu says, Im Lavan Garti, I live with Lavan, and Chazal Rashi brings down the Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, I was able to maintain, again, they had the Torah before it was given, I was able to maintain my standards of Torah observance. Yosef HaTzadik, more than just setting up for us the ability to maintain our standards in Egypt, he did something much deeper. By not succumbing to the wife of Potiphar, he was able to stand up and protect Klal Yisrael, that they weren't involved in immorality all the time that they were in Egypt. Now, here's the Chiddush for today. Listen closely. This was a divine plan. Hashem wanted that Yosef should be the one to pave the way, to stand strong, to have this Torah of what it means, that we can come out, not changing our name, not changing our language, not changing our dress, to be proud of who we are as Jews. So here we can explain, there's an idea the Ramban points out in source number 10, it's a very fundamental principle. And that is, before any miracle occurs, or a number of prophetic ideas are to occur. Ideas is probably the wrong word. Prophetic, I don't know the right word. You fill it in. It is necessary to perform a symbolic action below in order to trigger the miracle or this prophecy from above. So you have, for example, the Moshe Rabbeinu raises his staff and the sea splits. And you have this throughout Navi, if you're learning Tarani Mecha Dach Yomi with the OU. So you've seen this in Yirmiya over and over again. This is my plug. I am on for 2 weeks starting today. Hosea. I'm not telling you to listen to it, but I am there. I'm in many places at the same time. Anyway, that had nothing to do with anything. Now we can appreciate why the brothers throw Yosef into a pit full of snakes and scorpions. And he says, seeing that the entire purpose of the arrow in 10, of Yosef being sold into slavery so that he remained righteous despite the hostile and pure environment in Egypt represented by the snakes and scorpions, it was necessary for the brothers, even unwittingly, to perform the symbolic gesture of throwing him into a pit filled with snakes and scorpions. Yosef's miraculous rescue from the pit and his survival among the snakes and scorpions in Egypt paved the way for all of Israel to maintain the sanctity during their exile in Egypt. So we see immediately that there is this connection between the idea that the pit is empty but full of snakes and the Hanukkah story, because that was paving the way for Yosef to be successful in Egypt. Now moving down in 11, we can now appreciate how Yosef HaTzadik's sanctity in 11 nullifies the negative force of Greece. Because what were the Greeks all about? You want to be Jewish, that's fine. But we want you to be culturally Jewish, but blend in with us, right? This is it. We want them to intermingle with the nations, to learn from them. They wanted them to become Hellenized. And we know that many of the Jews did, that you weren't going to be able to recognize a Jew from a Greek person. That was the goal of Yavah. And with the idea of what Yosef HaTzadik instilled in us, and this is the whole, really the whole victory. We don't even see it this way, right? We look at Hanukkah, oh, one day, 8 days, the real victory of Hanukkah was, here goes, maintaining our identity as Jews. That I am different. My dress is different. My language is different. My mindset is different. I have my priorities that are different. That is what Yosef HaTzadik was teaching us. That is the aspect of the Torah Segulos. If I could just take this one step further, I really don't have time for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's not just the outer mode. It's the inner mode as well. We think along the lines of Greek and Roman mindset. And we're so entrenched in it that we don't even realize that we think along this way. You know, you meet a person, the first thing you ask them after their name is, what do you do? We're not human doings, we're human beings. What do you mean, what do you do? What do you do is a secular mindset that if you're a doctor, oh, you're a therapist, whoa, you're a lawyer, whoa, you're a mother. Oh, I feel bad for you. Where does that come from? Like, you know, I really don't have time for this, but I don't really care. They give me the floor, I say whatever I want, it's terrible. You know, I learned this lesson so clearly. I remember when my daughter was in first grade, my older daughter, she couldn't sleep at night. Every night she was getting up in the middle of the night for hours. She was scared to go. She was a five-year-old, very the youngest in her class, scared to go to first grade. And I remember one night it was like S's going night after night, like 3 a.m. I finally said to Rachel, Ima has to teach Torah tomorrow. I have to go to sleep. And she turned to me and she says, right now you need to be an Ima and I need your help. You need to stay up. That's right. Get a grip. Going to work the next day, that's something that you've chosen for yourself. But what is your main focus? You got to be a mom. And I felt so good. Fast forward now, you know, however many years, my younger daughter, 19, needed help on a presentation, whatever it was for her. She's learning to be a gananet. And she needed my help last night. And I needed to go over this year last night. And she needed my help last night. And at midnight, I am still helping her when I needed to go over today's year. And I said to myself, you know what, Shira, you got to practice what you preach. Right now, your focus is being a mom, and that's where you need to be. And it was so heartwarming this morning when I picked up my sheets to prepare them, there was a note from my daughter. Thank you, Ima, for staying up with me and for, you know, giving me the encouragement that I needed last night. So there is payoff. You know, it does happen. There is, even in our lifetime. Okay, I'm back on the program. Now I appreciate in the arrow, in whatever source I'm in, 11, I guess, is why we light the oil. What is special about oil? Oil doesn't mix with other liquids. When I look at, and that's the primary way to light, is with olive oil, right? When I look at my olive oil, and some people even have a minhag Yisrael, Bell's minhag, to put a little water on the bottom of the glass, and then oil. And that's really a dramatic difference. There's oil, and then there's water. And the oil and water don't mix. We are different. And we don't have to be, listen closely, apologetic about our differences. We have to realize that this is who we are, and we wear it with pride. And this is what moving down to 12. Let's go, because I have to move here. I'm only in the second page and I only have 25 minutes left and they don't give me much time here. If in this manner, we can explain the Megaleh Mukos connection, second paragraph, that the memory of the sin of Yosef's sale was evoked by the Greek exile. Additionally, the Imre Noam and Tiferet Shlomo write that Hanukkah miracle served as rectification of the sale of Yosef. We point to that Hashem arranged for Yosef to hold in slavery and to end up in Egypt as to pave the way for all of Israel to remain unassimilated and separate from the Goyim. As a consequence, whenever Yisrael failed to totally separate themselves from the Goyim, move down a little bit, as a consequence, whenever Yisrael failed to totally separate the Goyim, they evoke, God forbid, the memory of the sin of Yosef's sale. For under those circumstances, he endured the sale for naught. In what way is this a tikkun, a rectification? In the fact that we were now able to learn the lesson. Yosef, you were sold into slavery, not for naught. We understand that there's a purpose here. We understand it's about standing up and knowing who we are. And it's not by accident, I'll just add this before we bring this into our lives, in source number 16, that who was the primary player in putting Yosef into the pit was Shimon and Levi. And Levi, right, if we're saying that, even they don't realize it, Levi was the one who threw him into the pit, 19. Levi is the one who then stands up at the sin of the golden calf to separate the Jews from the Eruv. And it's the children of Levi, the Chashvaraim, who stand up in the Hanukkah story. We learn the lesson. This is all about separation. Now, my friends, we can appreciate Yosef HaTzadik and Hanukkah for our lives. How so? So we know, my friends, that one quality of Yosef that perhaps is one of the fundamental qualities that we have to work on Hanukkah. We understand that Hanukkah is about the rectification of of the sin of Yosef, so that Hanukkah forms for us a time to integrate the personality of Yosef HaTzadik into our lives. What was the main quality that Yosef had? So here, I don't know what happened to screen sharing. I'm in source 16. Anyone home? Okay, we're back to screen sharing. This is great. Source 16, amazing. On the bottom here, Ben Parat Yosef, going down a little bit further. The bold Ben Parat Yosef, perfect. Ben Parat Alei Ayin. What was the greatness of Yosef? So Yaakov Avinu in his bracha to Yosef describes him. He's Alei Ayin. He's above the eye. And we know that Chazal tell us that he used to walk through the parade through the streets, and the girls would throw jewelry at him in order for him to look at them. I got all the pronouns right, and he refused to look at them because he knew that he had to guard his eyes. The greatness of Yosef is the greatness of guarding his eyes. Which, just for a moment, if we could just take a peek on the next page, just to drive Chana a little bit crazy, in source number 24, we know that in Yosef's portion was Shiloh, was the place of Shiloh. And we know that what's unique about Shiloh is that the Kodshei Kodshim Nechalim Lifnim Min HaKlaim, the Kadoshim Kali Meiser Sheni B'chol HaRoah, that the holy sacrifices had to be eaten in the inner courtyard, but the lesser level of holiness could be eaten in Meiser Sheni B'chol HaRoah, in Shiloh, wherever you saw Shiloh. B'makom, Rashi says, B'chol HaRoah, B'makom Sheroi Mishamat Shiloh, wherever you saw Shiloh, that's where you're able to eat it, right? And you know, if you go to Shiloh today, they will tell you, how do they know where they think the tell of the Mishkan was? That if you look at the mountains around, right, the tells in the middle, you look at the mountains, been to Shiloh today, yeah? Look at the mountains around, when they dug, you see shards of pottery, because that's how they would break whatever they ate, because it's holy, right? The first disposal, they would break their pottery. You only found shards of pottery on all the mountaintops facing the tell. On the other side of the mountain, there were no shards of pottery. Why? Because of the Chol HaRoah. You had to actually see Shiloh. Why was it by Shiloh, unlike Yerushalayim, that wherever you saw it, is because Shiloh comes in Yosef's territory. And Yosef is someone who sanctified his eyes. So therefore, anywhere you saw with your eyes holiness, you were able to eat holiness. Now I can appreciate why by Hanukkah, and again, this is not for a halachic discussion, but for a mindset, that let's say you can't light Hanukkah candles. You're flying, right? You're not in your house. So Hanukkah is unique, is that Gam al Ru'iya Bilvad, there is a bracha you can say just on seeing the Hanukkah candles. You can't say Lahadlik Ner because you're not lighting it, but you can say the bracha of Shasanisi. But again, not paskin for you halachically, ask your LOR. Why is this, right? If I can't light Shabbos candles and I see Shabbos candles, I don't say Lahadlik Ner, you know, Shabbos, or if I don't have a Lulav and Esrog and I see you with a Lulav and Esrog, oh, let me say a bracha on Lulav and Esrog. Why? Hanukkah is different. Because Hanukkah is the Kedusha of Yosef HaTzadik. And the Kedusha of Yosef HaTzadik is the Kedusha of seeing. And that's what makes Hanukkah unique, that Hanukkah is all about seeing, which helps us understand. I'm going to do this outside now. Okay, so I'm asking you to bear with me because I really want to get to level 2. 18 through 26 now. Okay, or 27. So really work with me. You can learn it inside. I'm going to do it outside. And that's the following. When I light Hanukkah candles, I say, Ein lanu reshut lishtamish b'hem. I don't have a right to use them, right? I can't read by them. Ela l'rosam bilvad. The only thing I can do is to look at them. So we've learned as kids, a double negative equals a positive. The word Ella and bilvad are negative. Only. Ela l'rotam bilvad means that what am I supposed to do with the Hanukkah candles? To see them. Double negative is positive. What does it mean to see the Hanukkah candles? So again, these sources you can see inside. The Hanukkah candles are about enabling a person to be able to see two things. The first thing is positive and negative, so to speak. The first thing is to see clarity in life. It's a beautiful piece. I'm just making mention of the Chalban in 19, that when you live in a world of darkness, it's very hard to see. Like we say in Hallel, Einayim lahem velo yiru. They have eyes, but they don't see, referring to idolatry. When you have eyes, Einayim lahem, when you have eyes that are only used for yourself, for your own taivas, you're not going to see godliness. You know what the Hanukkah candles are about? It's about being able to see clarity in my life. And that is why a Hanukkah candle that's above 20 amos is not valid. Because even though I may see it physically, I cannot access it to be able to utilize it as a meditative experience to look deep inside of myself. Hanukkah is about tshuva, the final day of when the Gzardin is given over. It's really not Hoshana Rabbah, it's Zot Hanukkah. Zot Hanukkah is the holiest of days. The final day of Hanukkah, the eighth day of Hanukkah. You know what it's about? It's about spending time by the candles, asking myself, am I living in a world of darkness where my priorities are, so to speak, secularized priorities? Or are my priorities Torah priorities? Where is my focus in life? How am I spending my life? This is the question of Hanukkah. Where are my values? What is my focus? And indeed, in 28 through 30, the Lekach HaLibur brings such a beautiful idea when he says, what does it mean? The pit is empty. There is no water. Scorpions and snakes in source 29 are found there. He says, nothing exists in a vacuum. If there is no water, there has to be snakes and scorpions. And that is true in our lives as well. Snakes, referred to them in the astral circle, kibbo dvarim hamitchamamim, are the passionate things in our lives that are going to take us over. The akrav, the scorpion, are the coldness of my Torah and mitzvos. And this is what I have to ask myself, and this is a very profound question, particularly during COVID. How am I spending my free time? And I have much more free time than I've ever had on my hands. I'm limited in where I can go. I'm much more downtime. Ask myself, what am I doing with my downtime? Am I utilizing it for positive things? And even if I am utilizing for positive things, can I even utilize it for greater positive things? Can I have my focus really be in the service of God? The eyes are looking at the candle. We know, Kiner L'Kinish V'Sada. The candle is a reflection of the soul of man. It's really looking at the soul inside of ourselves. The outer candle, right? We know, we've spoken about many times with the Or HaGadol, the original light of creation, the light of clarity you can see from one end of the world to the other, is mirroring my own neshama. So when I look at the candles, I'm really looking at a hard look at myself. Where am I holding? What are my values? What's my mindset? What's really important to me in life? And am I living that? The second aspect of the candles, which is again connected to Yosef HaTzadik, is making sure that the candles have a way of eradicating anything negative that I've ever seen. It's like a cleansing fluid. It's able to take away all of that so that my eyes are pure. We know that Hanukkah is the precursor of Mashiach. V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachamim. This is the end of 26. Don't go there. That I want my eyes to see. Return to Zion. I have to purify my eyes. And the Hanukkah licht have the ability to eradicate anything negative that I may have seen. Okay, my friends. So let me just summarize that first level. And then we'll do very briefly the second level. The first level is that Yosef HaTzadik represents the Torah HaGadol. He represents the ability to withstand in exile and be firm in who and what we are, to be proud of what we are. It's okay to have a beard during the 3 weeks. It's okay to have a Jewish name. It's okay to dress in a certain way. And it's okay to think in a certain way. Yosef HaTzadik is paving the way that the Jewish people shouldn't be involved in the snakes and the scorpions. That's the brother sending him with that, almost that unwittingly, on that physical manifestation, which is foretelling what's going to be. Yosef HaTzadik remains strong against immorality. The Jewish people are able to remain strong against immorality. That paves the way for all of Mitzrayim. It's a paradigm for all Galus still today, that we could remain strong in Greece, that we don't have to be like the Hellenists, that we can be strong in who we are and proud of who we are. And this is the challenge that all of us have. We have to be able to know who we are and walk around with pride. This is the motif. Yosef HaTzadik is Ale Ayin, the ability to see. The candles, Ella LaRosa, Bilvad is able to see with clarity, enabling me to focus in on the time of tshuva, who I am, what I am, what life is all about. I'm not going to stop for questions now because I don't have time, but I will at the end take questions. Then there's a second way of looking at Chanukah, is a counter to Yosef's counter to the Chanukah story. This is a very deep idea I want to share with you in source 31. We know that everything exists on three levels. It exists in the Olam HaMachshava, in the world of thought, in the Olam HaDibur, the world of speech, and in the Olam HaMaisa, in the world of action. And even if something doesn't happen in one domain, if it is set into motion, let me rephrase that, if it's set into motion in one domain, it exists on some level in the other two domains as well. What did the brothers want to do with Yosef? They didn't want to throw him into a pit. What did they want to do? Lechu v'nahar gehu. In the world of speech, they said, in the world of thought, they thought, all right, it didn't come out in action, but what they wanted to do was to kill him. What they really wanted to do was murder, right? They invested, let's kill him. Says the Or Gedaliah that the four exiles, Shaddai and Malchios in 31, are parallel to the four Aveiros, four very serious Aveiros, right? The three of that Yeherig Valyavor and the fourth of Lashon Hara. And he matches each one up. He says that Yavan connects to the sin of Shichus Damim, of murder. So we already now see a connection that Yosef HaTzadik is the counter. He's trying to be murdered. It's the counter to Yavan, which is all about murder. Whoa, one second. Yavan is the counter of murder? Hello. Yavan was in the arrow about wisdom. Yavan was about beauty. Yavan was about the beauty of our body. There is no murder here. Explains the Maharal, source number 30. You know what Shvichos Dami means? It means taking out the blood, the life force. That's what Yavam was about, taking out our life force. You can have the outer temple, but don't have the service in the temple. Have the menorah, but we're going to impurify the oils. It's about taking away. You want to translate Torah into 70 languages, but we're taking away the beauty of Torah. We're taking away the inside. It's like taking the bagels and lox and taking out the hole from the bagel. Well, maybe bagels shouldn't have holes, but the wholeness of the bagel, right? It's about what Yiddishkeit is really about. That's what they wanted to take out. That's Shvichos Dami. That's murder. They were trying to murder our spirit, to murder our essence of who we are. What's the counter? It's a menorah. The menorah, and this is in source 33, the menorah is about light. You know what light is? Light is the world of the inner world. In fact, the gematria of Or is Raz, is secret. It's entering into that world of secret, of the inner world. 33, the squiggly Or, the gematria Raz, in the bracket, to be able to reveal the Gilui Apnimius, to be able to see the inner part that is found in everything. It's interesting because Yavan, the Greek wisdom is called Chochma Chitzoni, the outer wisdom. Everything was about outer beauty. It's not about what's found inside. The oil, the wick, the light is about found in the inner world. Now, where did they get these wicks from? How did they make the wicks? I remember my mother, Alas Shalom, used to take cotton. Any of you remember this? And then put it into the oil, like mamish make wicks. You know, like today where you just flip top of thing and you have everything together. Where did they get the wicks from? So the Rambam tells us they got the wicks from the ketonet. The ketonet was the tunic of the Kohanim that was worn, that, you know, was old. You know, we turn our rags, our old clothes into rags sometimes. So they turn their old clothes into, they would rip up the thing and they would make the wicks from there. Now, it's not by accident, my friends, that we know that every one of the garments of the Kohanim were mechaper, atone for a different sin. What did the ketonet atone for? You got it, shvichus damim, for murder. So again, you see, the very wicks that are used are from this ketonet. Now I want to take this a little bit deeper here, my friend. So hold on tight, because I'm going to fly. Not that it wasn't flying till now. And that is, what did this ketonet look like that was the wicks were made from? So in 35, in the bracket, the Ibn Ezra quotes from Sadia, it's called ketonet tashpates. Tashpates is like a pattern. What was the pattern? The pattern, and I drew a picture of it, is a circle with a square inside. That's what the ketonet, it was a pattern of white on white with a circle, the square inside. What is the significance of the square or the circle inside? So I'm now doing the end of 35 of the Shlach HaKadosh. You can get this shiur online and hear it in the slower version. Okay, this is like, you know, what we call that, the cliff notes? Yeah, this is what you're getting today. Is a circle represents, the Shlach HaKadosh says, movement. It represents a natural order, cause and effect. One thing leads to another. In fact, galgal, a circle, is the same gematria as the bracket in 35 as Yavam. This is what Yavam believed in, teva, the natural order. Everything makes sense. Everything is natural. What is a square? So the Jewish people, this is the next page, encamped in a square. In the desert. Where did they get this idea of encamping in a square, not a circle? They looked up in heaven and they saw that this is the way the angels encamped. The encampment in a square represents above the natural order. You even see this in the physical world. Everything God created, he created round, right? Apples, oranges, tomatoes, even people, some of us are rounder than others. But this is the idea of everything is round. Hashem did not create any angles because Hashem created a world of teva. Our job is to be able to see in the circle, the square, to be able to see that everything is really lamala mina teva, above the natural order. What is the real fight between the Jews and the world around us? Do we live a world of the natural world, the circle, or do we live a world where, even though I live in the natural world, the circle, inside is the square, inside is the reality that there is nothing, no such thing as nature. Even wheat growing is lamala mina teva, is above the natural order. This explains, by the way, the idea of the dreidel. The dreidel, my friends, I meant to bring one idea in source 37, but imagine a dreidel in your head. A dreidel has a square top. Do you know what I'm talking about? Imagine dreidel in your head. When I spin the dreidel, what formation does it look like? A circle. When the dreidel stops, it's again a square. And the dreidel reminds me we're always a square. Even though when everything around me looks like a circle, don't ever forget, it's a square. Don't ever forget that Hashem is running the show. How is this connected with the personality of Yosef HaTzadik? What does this mean for us? Hanukkah is really a time to be able to say, I don't, as an individual, have to live a life of teva, a life of nature. I can live above the natural order. What does this mean? So on one level, this means is that if I think that my personality is, I get angry easily, I'm stingy, this is who I am. This is my nature. Hanukkah is a time to say to myself, I can break my nature. And who's the paradigm for this? Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef, a 17-year-old boy, is being enticed by this princess. Of course, you will be drawn to her. But what does Yosef HaTzadik do in the last moment? He refuses. What does he do? He breaks his nature. He runs outside. And we know, Kriyas Yamsuf in 42, the yam saw Vayanos, the hallow we said today. What did the yam see? Arono shel Yosef. The yam said, I'm supposed to what? I'm supposed to, you know, not split. I'm supposed to stay the way I am. And then it saw Yosef and says, you know what? If Yosef can break his nature, I can break my nature. Hanukkah, which is the only holiday that's 8 days. I can tell that to you, my friends, because we're all living in Eretz Israel. We know such a thing as an 8-day holiday. Godless Jews don't know that, but we know that. Hanukkah is the only 8-day holiday, and it's 8 days in source 44 within the weekday, because that's what it's about. It's a weekday. I go to work. I'll probably be teaching you. Life goes on, right? It's a circle, but it's a square in the circle. It's about recognizing holiness in a world devoid of holiness. That's the tikkun, that's Yosef HaTzadik. When I celebrate Hanukkah and I'm able to work on one aspect of my life, that I am stuck on doing this in this way because this is who I am, and I can break it, then I've really celebrated Hanukkah. I'm able to take the natural and reach the supernatural. And that's what the candles are about. There's no such thing as even one day the candles should light. That's why I have an 8-day holiday. Who says it should light one day? Everything's a miracle. And I have to look at my life as the greatest miracle around. And the second aspect, and with this I'm going to close, and I invite you to, I don't know, I did the best I could. And that is, in our Torah and mitzvos, we sometimes get into ruts. That this is how I say brachos, and this is how I daven, and this is how I've been doing for 50 years, and this is, I'm not changing. We wouldn't be happy if we had a kitchen, the same kitchen for 50 years, or the same car for 50 years. In the physical world, we need newness, we need change, right? Can you imagine being the same clothes for 50 years? I mean, whether it was 50 or not, it's not the discussion right now. Why do we stay with our spirituality in the same way? And that is what Hanukkah is about. Pick one tefillah, one bracha, and say for 8 days, I'm going to be a square in a circle. I'm going to say this bracha differently. I'm going to say this tefillah differently. So Hanukkah is about a day to be inspired by Yosef HaTzadik, to be able to break our nature, and to be able somewhere in our Avodas Hashem to say, you know what, during these 8 days, I'm going to take something that I do all 8 days, and I'm going to do it different. I'm going to be the dreidel. I'm going to be spinning around in the real world, but I'm going to be a square in a circle.